Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, Chef Emily. This is Shay, or Shalon, calling you from Seattle. I'm sorry it's a bit later than you asked, but I literally had it on my to-do list, and I was trying to catch up on episodes to do a good job of making notes, and then I realized it would become one of those tasks that I never do in trying to do a better job, so I should just do it. So anyway, regarding the podcast, I want to say I love the personal stories. I think it's really good to share them when you don't have guests, like with your producer talking back and forth, and then when you have guests, to definitely like guide them and let them shine because they're new and exciting to the listener. And also, when you have guests, to make sure to say their names a few times and plug their contact, you know, their Instagram, what I go to most often, but whatever it is, at least their name, so that people can look them up, because often people are multitasking and look up your guest at the same time. And it's cool when we all link to each other, just like how we found you. Also, in that same vein, I think like Instagram posts related to your segments is a great way to connect and bond with the audience, because whenever you're talking about something, I often go to your Instagram just to see if there's some visual to back it up, because it feels so personal and cool to actually get an idea of what you're talking about in multiple senses. I had an audible gasp when I heard the Kai Rizal message, because I'm a huge fan. I was cooking. I was actually roasting rainbow carrots. And my boyfriend thought something had happened because he didn't know. And it was like, I had to explain about the Kai Rizal message, and I don't think he cared, but it was exciting to me. So anyway, I'm sure I'll have more thoughts, but I'll keep listening and hopefully have another or a food question soon. Thanks so much for being such a avid host and caring about your people that listen to your show. It's really awesome. And just makes me appreciate your podcast even more. Hope you're having a great week. And again, this is Shay from Shay's Kitchen or Shay Town in Seattle. Thanks so much.
Short and hot with Chef Family. Short and hot with Chef Family.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, broadcasting to you from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This is episode number 98, the last one in this season before we go on summer break. Joining me in the studio is my producer, Ann Hogan. Hi, Ann.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
All right, not too bad.
Are you looking forward to our break?
I am. Yeah, I'm looking forward to just kind of like... yeah, just the rest of enjoying the rest of the summer.
I think the last 2 weeks of August should be held sacred. Like, you don't do anything. Don't plan anything, or plan something and go somewhere spectacular, or just stay in your house and don't force yourself to work. Like, reset and then get ready to go back to school. Even if school is like so far in your past, you're like, school, what is that? Do you have that? I think I gravitated towards being a teacher because I really like the schedule. I like the reset of the fall.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt.
Last night was one of the first cool nights. Did you see on Instagram? I posted a picture of my Swedish meatballs that I made from scratch. I was like, it's cool. I'm going to braise something in like sour cream and beef stock. They were so good. And my husband was like, it goes below 80 and you like break out the...
and you're like, we're ready to go. Yeah.
Break out the Northern European food. I'm like, yes. And we are joined by resident clean person, friend of the show, personal friend of mine, Jolie Kerr.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Jolie. I'm so happy to have you
here.
I'm
very excited to be here.
I wanted to send off the listeners of Sharp and Hot with a like clean person final before we, you know, pull ourselves back together for the school year. Like a final get yourself together.
Yeah. Well, you've done all this cooking.
I've done a lot of cooking.
Now it's time to clean up.
And I want you to know, yesterday, in anticipation of the show, just in case it came up, I changed my sheets.
Oh, so happy.
And my shower curtain liner.
Woo!
So I was like, yesterday, I was like, that smell of fresh vinyl. I was like, she'd be so proud.
I saw a guy at the laundromat washing his liner yesterday. I like wanted to get up and shake his hand. I was so proud of him.
I've done that.
I was
that.
Like, good for you. Are you one of my readers? Like, I was really proud.
I have done that because there are stories on the internet that if you read them will make you feel really bad about throwing away shower curtain liners. Like, it basically is like enough shower curtain liners to get thrown away to basically cover all of the Serengeti Desert every year.
And I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. God. It's wasteful. I mean, I understand. I try not to come down too hard on people when they opt to throw them away because they're inexpensive, and I get that it's easier to just throw them away and get a new one. But also, like, that's so much landfill.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who are wondering how to wash a shower curtain, even though it's a little off topic for us,
we're just going to do it all.
Throw it in the washing machine, cold water, obviously not hot water because you might melt the curtain.
So you say, obviously, like, I was just thinking, yeah. I think I washed mine with hot water. Was that why it shredded? It came out like, it looked like fettuccine.
Do you have a top loader with a center agitator?
I do.
Yes. Okay. So the reason that that was going to be sort of my next caveat of the washing the shower curtain liner. So cold water, regular amount of detergent. If you are doing things that can be bleached, a little bit of bleach, or if not, you can just use a little bit of white vinegar, which will kill all that mold and mildew and that orangey pink stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bacteria called Serratia marcescens. I probably butchered that. I could spell it, but I'm not going to. Anyway, but that's what that pink, pinkish orange bacteria that you get in the shower and on the shower curtain is. So vinegar will kill that. Vinegar will kill mold, mildew, all of that kind of stuff. The reason that the curtain got shredded for you was not because you washed it on hot. It was because you put it into a top loading machine with a center agitator, and the agitator, which kind of has like fins around its side, will snag on things like that. So the way around that, if you do have one of those machines and you still want to wash your liner, is just to put towels in with it. And when you load the machine, load it in such a way, if you can, that the curtain is kind of around the outer edge of the drum, as far away from the center agitator as you can, and then fill in the rest with towels. The towels will protect it. It shouldn't get shredded. Then once it's out of the washer, don't put it in the dryer. Like hot water is probably fine because you're not like, it's not boiling hot water that you're talking about in your washing machine. Mm-hmm. It's probably not so much hotter maybe than what you're showering with. But the dryer definitely will be way too hot for the plastic. So just, rehang it, let it drip dry, air dry. It'll be fine.
Can you hang it right back in the bathtub to dry?
Absolutely. Just put it right back up on the rod.
Now, if you're, and I know this is totally not what we're here to talk about, but I have one follow-up question. The new one that I bought was like $3 on the end cap at the grocery store, and I was like, I need to change this. But I know you can invest in the heavier duty, more expensive one.
Yeah.
I should probably, if I'm going to wash it because I have no reason not to, I have the machine, I have towels, invest in the slightly heavier duty one.
Yeah, you know what? I've gotten those before. They bill themselves as being like the mold-free ones. They're not. I mean, the mold-free ones I've still gotten mold and mildew on them. So I don't know actually if there is a functional difference between buying the more expensive or less expensive ones. Certainly not for the mold-free purpose. That's a marketing scam.
All right. Well, I will wash the $3 one that I just had at some point, and I will report back on it.
Okay.
And I will do the towel thing. I'll do exactly how you said, and I'll report back.
Yeah. And it may just be that the difference with the heavy duty ones is exactly that. They're just heavier dutier.
That's hard to say, right?
It's a really weird heavier duty. That's the way to say it.
It's like saying attorneys general.
Yeah, exactly. that it may just be better in the machine. It may not be as delicate and prone to shredding, but yeah, you let me know.
I will have a full
and
report.
Good for you for washing the liner. That's not a lot of people do that.
You know, and like
a lot of people just leave up the nasty
Yeah, I definitely throw that away. Yeah. I've never watched that in my life. Yeah.
Can you?
But
foresee?
Now I feel like I have to.
Oh, you can try.
No, you don't have to. No,
I feel like every time Julie's on the show, or at least in a few times, I always have like my notebook out. There's always like all these like good nuggets. I'm like, okay, like things I can try. Like so freaking awesome. So now I'm up to this. Okay,
good. We
can.
You know what Emily learned last week? She learned how to fold a fitted sheet.
I did.
Which is unfortunately not something magic. That's like podcastable.
No.
We can't do that on the radio, but
we could try.
But we have
it'll
we have,
go terribly.
We have video. There's video of me on the internet doing it. There's Say a dead your, there's a Deadspin it. Video.
So if you go to Deadspin and you search Julie Kerr fitted sheet, you'll come up with a video.
Yes.
And see, and so I want to thank Che at the top of the show. We played her voicemail. This would be a perfect opportunity for us to post this visual thing somewhere else so that people multitasking
yes.
can go and look at it.
We should do that.
So we'll figure out how to do
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to do it right now.
You can do it?
I'm going to do it right now. Okay. I'm going to find right. it, and I'm going to put it on the Facebook yeah. page.
We're growing.
All right.
We're
great.
All growing together.
Everyone, carry on.
This is so great. This is so great.
So the reason we are here is because in this last 2 weeks of August, I'm going to be traveling. Jack is going to be traveling. I imagine listeners, hopefully, if you have any opportunity, will take the, you know, jump in a car and go somewhere, jump on a plane and go somewhere. And I wanted to talk to you about some travel cleaning things.
Awesome.
And then at the end, I know Anne has a clothing question, okay. which is like a really good kind of back to school. We need a new routine for this situation.
Okay. Perfect. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you for this topic, Emily. This is great.
Jack, I was thinking about you. I was like, man, backcountry camping. Okay. So let's start with the camping question.
Yay!
I love to camp.
Okay.
You have shared a picture of yourself camping at age 14 where
yes.
You have the most, I would have had such hair envy. We're going to put the picture up. I wanted my hair to braid like that, but
I didn't even think of it. When I got ready to come out today, I braided my hair.
You look like you have a camping outfit
I do
on
look
right
like
now.
I have a camping outfit on.
A very cute
I look ridiculous.
No,
but
you look amazing.
I don't know. We're having weird weather today.
It's a totally weird weather day. So
Emily's making Swedish meatballs. It's like weird weathering.
August. It's perfect. I'm not not happy about it.
I love it. I love a weather event in mm-hmm. the summer. So this has been making me very happy.
I've been a little bit jealous of Boston getting hail. I'm sure people listening in Boston are like, are you
yeah.
crazy?
Yeah.
But like you watch the videos, I'm like,
that looks
exciting.
So cool.
When it's just like a drought in New Jersey and I can't keep up with watering the garden, I'm like, yeah. we could use an event.
Yeah.
So in the vein of self-imposed hardship, I like to take myself and my family camping.
Okay.
I feel like there's something very primal for me about like cooking over fire,
yeah.
sleeping out of doors, and like wrestling the idea of wrestling or fighting off a bear, like that. There's something like magnetic about that being outside. Although I did hear somebody say, why would you pretend to be homeless? And I was like, no, that's not it at all.
That's a person who's just never been camping.
That's someone who's not doing it,
yeah.
right? So
no, it's just someone who's never done it and doesn't get. You have to do it to understand the appeal. I'm not you. So Emily asked me last week when she was asking me if I would come on the show. She asked me if I was a camper, and she's like, "I think probably not." And I was like, "I'm kind of not, but not for the reason you think." The reason that I'm not really a camper is because I have sweet blood, and I am like a magnet for every kind of insect that bites. So camping tends to be really uncomfortable for me. But other than that, if I could get into a camping situation where I'm not going to be eaten alive by bugs, I actually love camping.
Where do you come down on bug spray?
I mean, I'll use it, but like I have to use so it's just like a constant.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah,
that's no fun
it's
at all.
It's just and I'm horribly, horribly allergic. Like I will like blow up with bites, and yeah, so it's bad.
That's not fun.
Yeah, so it's not super fun.
But so I live vicariously.
I do love the camping,
and we can live vicariously through Jack, who is on his way to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where he's going to have to hike in 2 miles to get to the site.
Yeah.
And what makes me anxious for you, Jack, is where is your water coming from, and how? And this brings me to the first question: is how do you, Jolie, recommend going about doing the dishes at camp, especially when you have to carry your water?
Yeah.
So, Jack, first question goes to you. Where is your water coming from?
Well, this is something I've been researching for the past week because we are very close to Lake Superior. I just don't know what the drinking quality is and or if I could maybe grab a filter and filter that lake water because that would be easiest. So I have to do a little bit. That was what I was hoping to do, you know, like buy one of those little water filters and
I know
it's like a Brita.
No, not like a Brita. They sell these little pens that you can use in the wilderness to make
it's like UV
non-potable
light,
water potable.
Right? You
yeah,
put it in the
yeah,
bottle
like
and it
that.
Like UV, it just irradiates everything.
Something
in
like that.
Well, so that's a good place to start, actually, because really the how you do dishes questions really depends on whether or not you're in a place with potable water or not. Right. So that makes your biggest difference.
Can you wash your dishes with not, and just potable means drinkable?
Yes.
Can you wash your dishes with non-potable water?
Yeah, you can. You just want to take an extra step if you're going to do that. And that, actually, let me take you through the sort of the basic steps. With the understanding that all of these should sort of be like modified for your particular camping situation and like how much of a no trace left behind kind of person you are. 'Cause everyone has a different way of camping and it's not for me to tell you which way is right or wrong or judge. It's not my camping. So really the sort of basics of it, are to have 3 wash bins. That can be anything. You can get those plastic wash bins. I kind of recommend that people, if you're going to camp more than once, like if that's going to be a thing you're going to do, get the plastic wash bins. They're good also just for packing a lot of stuff because you can pack things in them and then take that stuff out and use them as your wash bin. So that's convenient. Have 3 of those. You don't need to fill them up all the way with water. So halfway up is fine. You're going to have 1 for washing, 1 for rinsing, and 1 for sterilizing. So it's the third one that's kind of the wild card one, and you can sterilize in 3 different ways. You can just use boiling water. If you're going to go that route, you want to have tongs that are kind of heavy-duty tongs because you, even with dish gloves, you don't want to be sticking your dish-gloved hand into boiling water. It's going to be too much. So the tongs will let you take things in and take them out. You can also use bleach. It's controversial because sometimes people who can't sometimes don't want to be dumping bleach water. The amount of bleach you're using is so minimal, though.
Are we talking like a capful and a half?
We're talking a teaspoon to a gallon of water.
Whoa, that has an effect.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And that's it. So, but you have to balance that with, you know, if everybody else is using a teaspoon of bleach, that adds up. And you have to balance how comfortable you feel with doing that. So that's a personal choice that you have to make based on where you're going and your type of camping. The last thing is there are sterilizing tablets. This is probably the best thing if you're an avid camper and a frequent camper. This is probably the best thing to do. You can get a container of about 150 tabs for a little under $10 on Amazon. They're called Steramine. I might be mispronouncing that. And what you do is you take one of them. They're used in like hospitals. They're used in dishwashing, in restaurants and bars. What you do is you take 1 tablet and you dissolve it in a gallon of water. And doesn't even need to be hot water. It can be cold water. And you dump the dishes in, leave them in. I think it's 2 minutes that you have to leave them in to get the effect. And then take it out and they'll be sterilized.
So let's talk about the steps as the camp dishwasher that you go through. You have the plates. So we have plastic reusable plates.
Okay.
They have bits of food on them.
Okay. Wipe them off first.
Into a garbage can.
Into a garbage can. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they go into the first bin, which has soapy water in it. Which should be hot?
Ideally hot. If it's cool, that's okay too. Because really, the end of the line, the sterilizing, is where anything that you would need hot water will undo the effects of it. It doesn't matter.
So let me ask you a question. My biggest pet peeve, or like the only thing I get grossed out by camping, is the kind of grease film left behind on the dishes. Like if you didn't do a good enough job the night before, if there had been some, you know, drinking involved, and you're like, oh,
no.
Just
during a camping trip?
Not me. And then you wake up in the morning and you're like, this is kind of... So the water, even cool water, will get rid of that film if you use soap?
I mean, if you're making things that are greasier, use hot water. It's just going to do a better job of cutting the grease. Absolutely.
Okay. So you can heat it like a kettle.
But if you're like eating sandwiches, you know, it's like an extra step to heat water because you got to heat it on your fire and all of that
good stuff.
So that's sort of one of those variations that you can decide for yourself based on what you're eating and your camping style and your how much time you have to boil water and all of that kind of stuff. One really important thing to mention actually about the soap stage, your first bin, always use a biodegradable soap. I think this is probably a no-brainer for people who can't, but it's worth saying. Back when I was 14, 25 years ago, that picture is 25 years old of me camping, we used Dr. Bronner's. I love Dr. Bronner. I still have like a very soft spot in my heart for Dr. Bronner's because of that camping trip. That was like a very seminal trip in my life. And so we used that, but we didn't have as many options as we have now. So if you don't want to use Dr. Bronner, something like Seventh Generation soap would be fine. Even, I mean, listen, I think it's a little pricey to be taking on a camping trip, but like Mrs. Myers would be fine. I think that's it's a little too for camping.
Right.
To my mind. But, so biodegradable soap, that's a big one. So, yeah, okay, so you're going to
Okay, so now we've got all our plates wiped off. Now, do you do one plate at a time through each bin, or do you get all the plates into bin one, and then rinse everybody, and then put everybody in sterilization? Or do you do it like conveyor belt style?
I think it depends how many helping hands you have.
Okay.
Right? If you have helping hands, you can do it conveyor belt style.
Yeah. So you have like one person scraping and washing, yeah, and then another person.
Yeah.
See, we've been taking our son camping since he was, I think, 6 months old was our first trip,
okay,
with him.
Oh, my God.
So he's going to be like a helping hand soon. But right now it's like one. My husband really is like, you take care of the baby. I will do the toddler. I will do everything else.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I have to say the last trip that we took, we had. The ratio was two toddlers to three adults. And that was like the maximum, like. If we didn't have that third adult, you can't have two. We couldn't have had two toddlers. I don't know how people do it with two kids, I swear.
Yeah, no, that seems like too much for me.
But they were cool. They had each other. They were like traipsing around in the woods, blowing bubbles. My son has differentiated himself because he refuses to take his clothing off. And our camping family partnership, she refuses to put her clothing on. So we had these adorable pictures of them. Like, I'm washing dishes, and there's a naked baby in her hiking boots, and James fully clothed, like, chasing her around. It's really
cute.
Oh, my
gosh, that's really funny.
So, like, it's like, as long as there's no other distraction, I don't mind being the only person doing the dishes.
Right.
Because
if you're the only one doing them, I would say do all the wash, all the rinse, all the sterilize. You know, it's just going to save you time. If you've got multiple, if you've got helping hands, do it, you know, assembly line style.
And the thing is, it's actually
a good activity for kids once they get to the age where they can do, where they're not treating it like a water table for playtime, because that's kind of the risk at,
yes,
you know, at toddler age when they're like able to help safely, they might still think it's playtime. Obviously, the one place where you don't want them is in that sterilization bin, regardless of whether you're using the hot water or, you know, the boiling water or the bleach or the sterilizing tabs. Just not a great idea for a kid. The other thing actually to mention about the sterilizing tab, this is a very good feature that they have. They will turn the water blue. So they're biodegradable. I checked all of this. They're biodegradable. They're non-caustic. They're safe to touch. So, you know, putting your bare hand in the water of sterilizing tab water is not going to do anything bad to you. But it does turn it blue so that you know that that's your sterile water. Don't drink that. I don't think anyone would really be dipping into the wash bins anyway for, yeah, a glass of water, but just in case.
Cup.
So,
right.
But that's like, yeah, but that's like a nice feature of them.
See, and what I thought you were going to say was it would turn blue, and then when it no longer had its power, it would fade back to clear, and then you knew you needed a new tab.
Oh.
Patent pending.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know that it does lose its power, though.
Like, in the commercial kitchen, like in the three-compartment sink, you're supposed to change the sterilizing water every so often, depending on your concentration.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Right. But I guess if you're camping, you're doing... It's not going to go...
You're probably not doing that many dishes.
Right. We should reevaluate your menu choices. Because you
right.
shouldn't spend well, the whole
actually,
day.
And here, this is like another... Speaking of menu choices, this is another really good thing to consider, is that things that are often... Meats, particularly, that are often bacteria-laden... are probably things you want to leave off the menu for camping just because of the cleaning situation. Like, you don't really want to be handling raw chicken when you're in an environment where you don't have hot running water and
or refrigeration
and can't be washing your hands and you're cutting, but you know, everything that's coming in contact with. So maybe like either skip the chicken or cook it at home and bring it up cooked and, you know,
poach it
and then throw it on the grill for that tasty grilled flavor or something, you know.
What we do is I marinate chicken in a gallon bag for the first day, and then I put some sort of beef or other bigger chunk of meat, like a London broil, in a marinade in a freezer bag in the freezer and freeze it solid. And then when we pack the cooler, and this is not going to be practical for Jack who's hiking in, but for car camping, put the chicken in and then put the steak in on top, and that acts like an ice thing.
Ice pack. Very smart, Emily.
And then and because it's delicious too. And because it's in a gallon bag, it goes straight from the bag onto the fire.
Right,
and
then so it's not touching anything.
There's no cutting board involved. There's no knife involved, so it goes straight. But yes, I mean, trying to cut raw chicken at camp makes my skin crawl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't try to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then how do you dry the dishes? Is it prudent to let them air dry? Do you wipe them like you would with towels?
I think you're better off drying them immediately, and here's why. That's actually going to take, if there is any of that greasy residue, the drying it with a dish rag is going to pick some of it up. So I think that you're better off drying it, you know, again, this is like a no impact thing that people have a different feeling about, whether you want to use paper towels to be wiping the plates before you wash them and what you want to be using to dry them, if you want to be using paper towels or if you want to bring dish rags. A friend of mine who actually is a frequent camper and a fellow clean person also said that she brings dish rags up. And then during the daytime, she'll like lay them flat in the sun to dry them and kind of like, you know, let the sun do its magic disinfecting work that the sun does.
That's a real thing, right? I believe in that. Like, I'll just hang out in the sun. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it has deodorizing powers. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it does.
Nothing's going to survive in a dry environment like that. So that brings us to sort of our second question is, now we have dirty dish rags at the end of our trip and dirty clothes, and this extends beyond a camping trip.
Right.
How do you deal with your dirty stuff when you're traveling? Do you pack, like, I thought maybe pack one of those big laundry bags that you get in for 50 cents from the machine that has the drawstring top?
Yep. Those are great.
Walk me through how you do this. My husband's go-to is just stick the dirty clothes in the little side pockets of the suitcase, and that, I don't like that.
No, I don't love that so much. I just feel like that's kind of a pain.
Mm.
And then you have dirty side pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And plus I'd rather use the side pockets for other stuff. Like maybe shoes actually are great. The problem with shoes, so I use shoe bags, but you know, I mean, I'm me, right? So no one has to do that.
See, and I just thought you take multiple shoes, huh?
Yes. Oh yes, I do. Oh yes, I do. So I use shoe bags. If you don't want to use shoe bags, just when you pack your shoes, make sure that you're turning the soles away from your clothes. So the soles of your shoes are really dirty, so you don't want them on your clothes. Side pockets are a great place for shoes for that reason. Another good thing for shoes, if you don't have dedicated shoe bags like I have, which are like mine are monogrammed, of course. just to take the ridiculata further.
No, wait, let me ask you. Did you purchase these for yourself?
No, these were all gifts. And I have multiple of them because people buy them for their bridesmaids' gifts. And, you know, it's like all that kind of hostess, you know, thank you for throwing a bridal shower type gift.
Sure,
it's all that.
Sure. Wedding, your friends know you well.
It was like a decade of weddings, like just netted me all of these shoe bags with J's on them. But if you don't have dedicated shoe bags, plastic grocery bags work great for putting shoes in. Plastic grocery bags are also my go-to for laundry bags. So I recently wrote a post for I have a column, a regular column at Racked National in addition to my regular column at Deadspin. And the Racked column is like fashion cleaning. It's more female focused and it's a little girlier and it's fun. But I did a thing recently for them about packing strategies for travel and talked about my grocery bag, plastic grocery bag trick for the laundry. And I actually take it a little, which is a common one. A lot of people do that. I take it a step further. I always bring at least two so that when I'm on the go, I can separate my dirty laundry by whites and darks, which means when I get home, it's already sorted and ready to go right into the wash, which, like, it's not that it saves all that much time, but it's like, it's such an easy thing to do that it just makes sense to me, and so I do it. So I recommend other people do it. When I wrote that piece, someone commented, she was like, I have a family, so when I'm traveling with four, you know, my husband, my two kids, and me. She said, so I just bring one of those, I bring a full laundry bag, just one of those full nylon drawstring laundry bags, and then I fill it up, and then it goes straight to the laundry room when we come home. So, which I thought was very smart.
I think, you know, my initial thought was, oh my God, I would never separate my laundry but on vacation. But now that I'm thinking about it, it makes so much sense, because when you get home, the stress of having all of that dirty laundry, if you just had to like dump one bag in the machine and then dump the other bag later on.
Yeah. And then the other thing is you're not picking through your dirty clothes. Right, like, right. Especially after, I mean, it's, you know, different trips are different trips, but like, especially after camping, like that's really, that's grungy.
Right. Everything smells those like a fire pit.
Like, let's get real. Like, those are sweaty underwear.
Right.
You know?
Like, yeah, like, I don't want to touch them twice if I don't have
yeah,
to.
So if it's already sorted, then it's just, exactly. You don't have to touch it. You just dump it right in the machine. And,
now, this assumes that you sort your laundry, which I,
yeah,
most
no,
of
not,
the time
every,
I
not, not everyone does. I mean, you know, there's a movement now towards cold water washing for everything. Except for stuff that's like super, super heavily soiled, and it's good and it's legitimate. It also means that unless you've got things that are red, which are notorious for running, you can wash whites and colors together on cold water, and you should be fine. If you're worried, those color catchers are good and they do work. So Shout makes them and Carbona makes them.
It's like a sheet, right?
That it's you like put a in? Sheet that goes in, yeah. And
what
we'll,
magic is that?
You know, I don't know. And I'm starting to, as you know, starting to plan for season two of my podcast, which I have to say, thank you, Emily. You got me my podcast here.
I'm so happy to have you in the HRN family.
Heritage Radio Network. And I love it. It has been a joy. So I'm starting.
And it's called Ask a Clean Person.
Yeah, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. And I wrapped up last week. Actually, I wrapped up last week talking about kitchen cleaning.
Ah, perfect. So, yeah.
So I am starting to plan for my next season. And I was thinking that I might actually reach out to someone at Carbona and see if they can like send me their scientists to like explain how the color catcher works.
I would love to know that.
Wouldn't that be really interesting?
I would love to know that, because to me that just is like, it's either not true and it's just marketing, or
no, I know it works because people who don't work for the company email me and are like, these things really work, they're amazing.
And I owe you thanks, because you said that to me about magic erasers, and I will never go back. I love
they are magic.
Yeah, they are.
They're absolutely magic.
So, Jack, let me ask you, do you have any follow-up camping cleaning questions, or did we touch on the two major ones?
I think you touched on it.
Are you so excited?
I'm very excited.
I saw that you posted on Twitter that your weather forecast is not promising.
It's not. It's really not. It's like we're spending two nights in Detroit, two nights at a place called Sleeping Bear Dunes by Traverse City, two nights in the Upper Peninsula, and two nights in Chicago. And it seems like the rain is just following us when I look at the forecast. But you never know, right?
That can change. I mean, this time of year, I wouldn't take any of that to heart yet.
Nothing higher than a 40 or 50% chance. So
You'll be fine.
You know, hopefully the coin flips the right way.
And is it just you and your lady friend?
Yes, it is.
Have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
Jolene.
I'll report on all the delicious foods from all these areas.
I can't wait. Oh, yeah. I sent you Slow's Barbecue in Detroit, and then I remembered that you're traveling with a vegan.
Pescatarian.
Pescatarian. Oh,
it's not so horrible.
Oh, okay. So there will be fish on. She can
catfish.
Get something. Yeah, she'll get catfish.
Exactly.
Slow's. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
And the season is, I mean, this is episode, I really wanted to end on episode 100 too, but it's 98, so we'll come back and we'll start with episode 99, which I think that's got some kind of cool poetic like Roald Dahl Shel Silverstein weirdness to it. I want to thank Che for reaching out, and everyone who sent me feedback. I really appreciate what you have said, and I take all of your tips to heart, and I know that it's, you know, I want to make myself vulnerable because I'm asking you to ask me questions and make yourselves vulnerable, and so I really, really, truly appreciate it. I'll give you a little piece of homework over the break. If you have not yet gone to iTunes and given us a rating, I would really appreciate it. We got a new rating, which I was very excited about. It just was 5 stars. Nobody wrote anything, but it was like, hey,
we got
another one. That's awesome.
And while you're there, give my show a rating.
Subscribe to Jolie's podcast. She's incredibly funny. She has great guests. You're super, super talented.
Thank you.
And I love your niche because I am like a, I'm clean person adjacent.
That's a good way to describe it. You're a clean person in training.
I'm a clean person in training. I'm getting much better. Having a kid has made me much, much better because it's like, man, you get real close and personal with disasters.
Yes.
So we're I'm doing that. I'm gonna go camping for 4 days with him while we're away. I will take you up on all of your advice, and we're gonna go up to Brian Alberg, who was on our show a few episodes ago. Mm. He has the Red Lion Inn. We are gonna go up and stay at his new place in Pittsfield, and so I will report back on that. I'm very excited.
Very cool.
So overnight for Mark's birthday, Grandma and Grandpa are teaching, are keeping JP at home. And so everyone who's recommended something for us to do in the Berkshires, no thank you. Like, I'm not doing anything.
Well,
yeah, we're gonna be there for 24 hours. Use your mind, use your head. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then we're gonna come back with a brand new season. Well, I'm gonna post the themes, I think, on the website while we're on the break, and so you guys can see sort of our overview. If you have interesting guests that you want to see that might be relevant, I would love tips. I'm really looking for someone who wants to come on and talk about family dynamics around the holidays. Someone like, we're going to figure this out. Ann and I have our work cut out for us over the break, but it's going to be good. And I want to thank Jack for engineering and everything, Jack, that you do for Heritage Radio Network. We really would not survive without you and your patience.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate it. And my promise to you is to keep that spreadsheet accurate and filled out.
Yeah, listeners are like, I have no idea what that means, but it sounds important.
It's very important.
It's very important.
Jack takes it very seriously, and
that's right.
I get reminded when I don't do it right. So there's a little peek behind the curtain.
Yes.
Maggie, will you be coming back with us next season?
No.
No, this is it?
You gotta go back to school.
Back to school. Thank you so much for coming on Heritage Radio.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Intern Maggie, enjoy everything that your life holds for you.
Well, thank you so much.
You're
you
very
too.
Welcome. Thank you. All right, you guys. That brings us to the end of the show. Oh, we didn't...
This was so fast.
I'm also going to take breaks, Jack.
Yeah. It's okay. I let it slide. It was the last show of the season, you know.
I was kind of wondering about that. I was like, Emily doesn't have to take breaks, but I have to take breaks?
No,
it's like it's like the last day of class, you know, where you can kind of like leave early. There's no homework.
Yeah. Yep, no, Emily does have to take breaks. She just periodically completely forgets. All right, you guys, I love you all. Enjoy the rest of your summer. Listeners, whatever you do, do it and have fun and keep playing with fire and knives, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.